man goes to the doctor and the doctor finds out that he's got cancer and is going to die in a few weeks. The doctor asks the man, "Do you want me to tell you the truth or do you want me to tell you a lie?" And the man says, "Tell me the truth. If I'm going to die, I want to know so that I can prepare. This morning I'm going to tell you the truth so you can prepare. I found out just yesterday, I have a 91-year-old friend, and the doctor says, you have cancer. And so he told me yesterday, I am preparing to die. And that again got me thinking that we all need to be ready to die because it can happen to us at any time. I remember growing up when I was in sixth grade, one of my classmates had a friend who passed away in a boating accident in sixth grade. It can happen at any time. I remember hearing of young people in Thomasville as we lived there who passed away, and it was sudden that there was no notice. They were here one day and they were gone the next, and that again reminds me that we need to be ready to pass away. In the first lesson in this series, we talked about being a Christian because we love God. In the second lesson in this series, we talked about being a Christian because we want to go to heaven. And I know we all want to go to heaven. In this lesson, I want to talk about something that's not very nice. It's not something we like to think about. I want to be a Christian because I don't want to go to hell. You know, punishment is a deterrent. I was sitting around with some Christians as we were talking about growing up and the punishment of our parents as we were growing up. And I remember growing up that I didn't do certain things because I knew that there was punishment attached to that. And I knew if I did a particular thing that I would get in trouble for that and I would be punished. I would get, as we called it when I was growing up, I would get a whipping for doing that. And so I didn't do those things. And so it is indeed very motivating for us as Christians to know that if we're not faithful to the Lord, that there is punishment. And this helps to motivate us as well as going to heaven. Indeed, we want to be a Christian because we want to go to heaven, but we also want to be a Christian and we want to serve God because we do not want to go to hell. Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to Revelation. Chapter 22, and we mentioned this passage last week. Revelation chapter 22. Who will live with the devil for eternity? Who will live with the devil for eternity? And who will be punished forever in hell? Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. Revelation 22, verse 13. Now, this is Jesus at the end of the Bible. At the end of this book, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In other words, there is a song we sing. I don't know if it's in our new song book or not, but it's titled All in All. In other words, Jesus is our all in all. Jesus is our everything. Verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gate into the city. And we talked about washing that robe, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, in the blood of the Lamb. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Ananias speaking to Paul on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. And so we wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, when we're baptized. And verse 15, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Who will live for eternity in hell? It is those who refuse to obey Jesus Christ, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now the question I want to ask you at the end of this lesson, I want you to be thinking about it this morning. Are you one of those people who will live forever with the devil in hell or live forever in heaven with God? Will you live forever with the devil in hell or live forever with God in heaven? That's something perhaps we do not want to think about it, at least the negative part of that. We do not want to think about being in hell forever with the devil, but we need to do that. And I want to ask you to think about that this morning. Well, the fact of the matter is that most people will not go to heaven. You remember last week we talked about from Matthew chapter 16 verses 24 and 25, Jesus tells us that we must take up our cross and follow Him, denying ourselves. You remember last week from Matthew chapter 10 verses 34 through 38, Jesus says, I did not come to the earth to bring peace, but a sword. He's telling us that it's going to be hard to be a Christian, that many people will not be willing to pay the price and to pay the cost of being a Christian and taking up their cross and following after Him. But turn your Bibles now this morning with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. There was a poll taken in 1991 by Gallup. And this was appeared in U.S. News and World Report, March 25th, 1991. And of people who say that they have no religion, that they're not a member of any church, that they're not religious in any way, 61% of them say that they have an excellent to good chance of going to heaven. Now, these are folks that have no religion at all, and they believe, 61% believe, that they have an excellent chance of going to heaven. And only 9% say that they're headed to hell. Now, this just shows us right off the bat that most people think they're going to heaven. But you know what? The Lord tells us just the opposite is true. In Matthew chapter 7 and beginning in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. In other words, Jesus is telling us that it's easy to go to hell. Easy to go to hell. And that's where most people are going. At judgment time, most people are going to be cast into hell. Now, drop down with me to verse 21, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus, again, is saying this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying at judgment time, there are many people who are going to be confessing with their mouth, you are the Lord. And they're going to be pleading with Him, Lord, Lord. Jesus says, that's not going to get you into heaven. Verse 21, what does He say? But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Now verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, knew that he himself, after doing all of these miracles, and after preaching to many and many people being saved, he knew that he himself could lose his soul. Jesus is telling us that at judgment time there are going to be people pleading with Him to enter into heaven, saying, look at all the prophecies, look at all of the miracles, look at all the great and wonderful things I've done for you. Maybe there will be some there. Maybe there will be some there saying, look at all of the sermons I preached. Look at all of the people I baptized. Look at all of the Bible classes I did. Look at all the times I led singing. Look at all the times I had people into my homes. Look at all the times that I took care of the needy. Look at all of the times I spent working on the church building and doing all the things that I did. Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, there are going to be many people who are disappointed come judgment day. As we see from the poll taken in 1991, those who say they have no religion at all, most of them expect to go to heaven, they're going to be terribly disappointed. Because they're going to hear from Jesus Christ, not, well done, good and faithful servant. They're going to hear, depart from me, you who practice iniquity. There are indeed many people who are going to be disappointed that they are punished. Yes, they took the easy road that many take, that most people take that enters into hell. And they did not take the difficult road. The difficult road that ends in eternal life. Verse 14. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are few people that are going to enter into heaven. Most folks are not going to be willing to pay the price, to take up their cross, follow after Jesus Christ, and indeed they will be very disappointed. Questions for you this morning. Are you going to be different from the majority of people and obey God so that you can go to heaven? Are you going to take the easy road that follows the crowd? Young people at school, are you going to take the easy road that just goes along with everybody else, what everybody at school is doing? Or are you going to follow a different road, a different path that most of your classmates are not going to be on that road with you? Sometimes you may be on that road all by yourself, all alone, the only person doing the right thing. Are you willing to stand on that road, even if you have to stand there all alone? If you died today, would you open up your eyes in a place of punishment or a place of eternal rest? If you died today and you opened up your eyes, where would you be? What will happen after you die? Now, we asked this question last week and we were talking about heaven. Now, we're not talking about heaven this morning. We're talking about what will happen after we die if we're not a faithful Christian. What's going to happen to us? Well, be turning your Bibles back over to Luke chapter 16. And Chris already read this for us because I knew I wouldn't have time to read it this morning. But here Jesus is talking. Story of a rich man, and he had a shrewd manager. And there are many lessons we can learn from this teaching of Jesus. And one is that we must serve God with our money. And if we do not do that, we're not going to be saved. That's just one of many lessons that we can learn. But I want you to look down to verses 14 and 15. Luke chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. Now the Pharisees immediately took offense at this. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at Him. Now if you can get the picture here, as Chris already read for us this morning, and these things had occurred, and Jesus is telling this parable, and now here are the Pharisees, and they are scoffing at Jesus. They are making fun of Jesus for telling this parable. And now verse 15, Jesus said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." Now from here, Jesus goes and tells the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now I want us to read that this morning. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day." Now, this is a man who was doing those things which were highly esteemed by men, verse 15, just as Jesus had been talking about. And so this is one who was doing just exactly what everybody wanted to do. He was rich and he just had all of these many, many things and life was great. He was where everybody else wanted to get to. Verse 20, there's another man, one that nobody likes to be like. "And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores." So now get this picture. This is a story Jesus tells. We've got two people. One is just dressed with all the most wonderful things he could ever be dressed with and living such a great and wonderful life and ignoring the poor, not serving God with his money, just using his money to heap things upon himself. And here is poor Lazarus. And he hardly has anything to wear and he has nothing to eat and he has no medicine. His medicine were dogs coming and just licking his sores. That's all the medicine he had. And this rich man just passed by and ignored him completely. Verse 22. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I want us to stop right there. What's going to happen when you die? We don't know much of what happens when one dies, but we know this. Jesus tells us this. When I die, I will immediately open up my eyes. Not literally these physical eyes, but the eyes I have and whatever the new body is that I have. And I'm going to either be in a place of great torment or of great joy. That's what's going to happen. And I want you this morning to imagine yourself dying. I want you to imagine yourself passing away. I want to imagine yourself closing your eyes in death. And opening your eyes in eternity. And it's either going to be a place that is just absolutely terrible and horrific and great torment. Here is the rich man just wanted Abraham to allow Lazarus to take his finger and just put one drop of water on his tongue. Great, incredible torment. Or great, incredible joy. We talked about that last week. Now, imagine yourself. Imagine both of them. Imagine dying and opening your eyes in great joy. Now, imagine dying and opening your eyes in great torment. Your life has just been an utter waste. All the things you did here upon the earth, utter waste. You'll never know of anything good again for all eternity. Terrible. Terrible, terrible thing. So when we die, we're going to immediately wake up in great torment or great joy. Last week I also talked about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in the sky and with the great trump. And I talked about the great reunion in the sky, and the Lord was going to take all of the saved back to be with Him forever. What's going to happen when you die? Well, you're going to close your eyes. If you're not a faithful Christian, you're going to open your eyes up in torment. The Lord's going to come back one day, and He's going to bring all the saints with Him. You're not going to come back. You're not going to be there. You're going to miss out on that. Oh, your parents, if your parents were faithful to the Lord, oh, they're going to come back with the Lord. You're going to miss that. If your children are faithful to the Lord, they're going to come back with the Lord. Great grand reunion in the sky. You're going to miss that. You're not going to be a part of that. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come this very day, and you're remaining here upon the earth, we talked about this last week. Indeed, the saved are going to rise up to be with the Lord and be with Him forevermore. But you're not going to be a part of that, you see. You're going to miss out on all of that. If your mother or father are faithful to the Lord, oh yes, they're going to rise up. You're going to stay here. If your children are faithful to the Lord, oh yes, they're going to rise up, but you're going to stay here. If your friends are faithful to the Lord, yes, they're going to rise up, but you're going to stay here. What's going to happen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to those who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord were to come back right now, you're not faithful to the Lord, you would be left behind. Perhaps your mother and father, perhaps your children, perhaps your grandparents, they're going to rise up to be with the Lord. You're going to say, here Jesus is coming back with flaming fire, with his angels and flaming fire, bringing retribution upon those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And whatever that punishment's going to be like, that's what you're going to have. Well, then will come the judgment. Be turning your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Remember, we're pretending. Pretend just for a moment that you're not faithful to the Lord. Pretend for just a moment that you have died and you opened your eyes up in torment. Great torment. You're looking back upon your life here upon earth. As Jesus indicates from Luke chapter 16, the rich man looked back at his life on earth and he knew what it was like. He remembered the things that had occurred while he lived upon the earth. He remembered about his brothers. He knew that his brothers were not faithful to the Lord. He asked Abraham just to let Lazarus go back and just talk to them one time, surely that they would obey. And so if you're not faithful to the Lord and you die, you open up your eyes in torment, you're going to remember your life here upon the earth. You're going to remember the opportunities to obey God and you neglected the Lord. You're going to remember the times that you turned your back on God and you did not repent and you did not come back to do the right things. And I'm sure you're going to be very sorry for that. It's too late to do anything about it, but you're going to be very sorry for that. And you're going to wish that there's any way in the world you could turn back the clock and do it all over again, but that's impossible. You just have to live in torment and think about that and realize that and just be sorry about everything you ever did, but it's too late. Then will come the judgment, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we all must stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Again, we're pretending that we're not a faithful Christian, that we die, not a Christian or not faithful to the Lord. And now I stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and Jesus says, look, I died for you. Look, I allowed myself to be nailed upon the cross. Look, I spilt my blood for you. And what did you do? I asked you very little to do, and you did nothing. You did not serve me. What are you going to say? What can you say? You can't say anything. You can't plead for mercy based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. You didn't serve Jesus. There is no excuse. No man has any excuse. So what can you say? What excuse can you offer? What reason can you offer? Can you plead for mercy? The answer to all those questions is no. You cannot do any of those things. The conclusion of the whole matter when all has been heard is that we keep God's commandments because God will bring every act to judgment, that which is hidden, that which is good, that which is evil. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, I want you to sort of put yourself here. Again, this is the end of time. This is when the world has been destroyed, has been burned up with fervent heat, and now here is judgment. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. Now remember, you left this life, you either were not a Christian, or you were not faithful to the Lord as a Christian, and now judgment time comes, and here are the books opened up, and now all of your secrets are going to be told. All of your secrets are told. All the things you did, nobody else knew about, but the Lord, all of these things are going to be told. You see, there are really no secrets. There are no secrets. Here are the books that are opened up, and now you've got to give an account for these things, and there are no secrets. No secrets. Each one judged according to his deeds. Now comes the penalty for not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and now comes the punishment and that is being cast into the lake of fire. Again, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, first of all, I want you to note that that is where the devil was cast before judgment. That the devil is already there. That the devil is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and then he is just waiting for everyone else who lived upon the face of the earth. All those who lived upon the face of the earth, they're going to be thrown in there with him, and don't you know, he's just waiting for them all to get there. He's going to just have his fun. He's going to have his heyday. Because now the Lord is not going to stop him from doing anything, because the presence of the Lord is not there. And so now Satan can do just anything he wants to do to you, because the Lord is not going to be there and not going to withhold him from doing anything at all. Now I tell you what, that's a place I don't want to be. I don't know about you. I do not want to be around murderers and criminals and rapists and those who break into houses and those who do such incredibly vile things that I cannot even mention them in this audience. Now those are the people who are going to be in hell. Of course, unless they've repented and served the Lord. And I do not want to be with them in this life or the next life. I do not want to be with those people because those people have great joy in hurting other people. And I don't want to be one of those whom they hurt. And the devil is the one who takes the most joy, who enjoys hurting other people the most. And he's just waiting for everybody to be thrown in there because he can now have his fun. Is that the way it's going to be? I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know if that's the way it's going to be, but that's the way I envision it being. Now, verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Now this is the thing about eternal punishment. You see, there are two deaths. This is revealed to us within the book of Revelation. There are two deaths. One death almost dies, appointed to man to die once, then the judgment. But the second death is not one which anyone has to die if he'll only obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we're talking about those who aren't Christians or those who are not faithful to the Lord. You die, you're going to be judged, and you're going to die all over again. Die all over again. And that death is going to be an incredible, painful death. What's it going to be like in hell? What's it going to be like in hell? Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. And say, Alan, is this literally how it's going to be in hell? Well, the first few passages I'm going to read here, I don't think so. Literally, no. I think this is just giving us an idea. Just like with heaven, is heaven literally going to be a diamond 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles? No. Is it literally going to be a gold city with literal streets? Now, that just helps us to imagine how incredible heaven is. And this helps us to imagine how incredibly horrible hell is. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the parable of the talents. Now, the one who was not faithful to the Lord was thrown out into outer darkness. Let me suggest to you what this represents is emotional torture. If you want to torture someone, the very, very worst, put him in a place, a dark place of isolation, where it's absolutely dark, where one cannot even see his face in front of, his hand in front of his eyes, where he can see nothing, where all of his senses are shut down because of the darkness, and it will very quickly drive a sane person insane. Outer darkness, where there is no light, is no light. Outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I suspect many of us here have cried. I don't know if all of us have actually wept. I don't know if I have actually wept. You know, maybe the worst it's ever got is when I got, call it a spanking to be nice. My dad is more of a whipping, and that's fine. I mean, he was doing the right thing. And of course, I would cry. I don't think I really wept. I don't think so. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. This is when things are just so bad, one is just rubbing their teeth together. They're just grinding their teeth because things are just so bad. Can't stand it. Emotional torture. Also, there's going to be bodily pain. What that body is exactly going to be like, I can't tell you that. Go to Matthew chapter 13, but whatever body it is, it's going to be tortured. There's going to be great, great bodily pain. Matthew chapter 13, and this is the parable of the tares, and those tares will be burnt up. Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 and 42, the Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's one of the worst physical injuries one can have, and that is to be burnt. That's what it's going to be like in hell. It's just going to be excruciating pain, and there's never going to be any relief. There are no doctors. There are no medicine. There's nothing to make it stop. Eternal pain. Well, very quickly, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Back over to that scripture. Because this is the one that gets to me the most. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. As we already read, verse 6, that God is going to repay those. Verse 7, and Jesus comes with His angels in flaming fire. Verse 8, to those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. To me, that is the worst punishment I could ever receive, is never to be in the presence of the Lord. And see, we can't imagine that today because we're all in the presence of the Lord. God causes His sun to shine on all good and evil, causes it to rain on good and evil. All of God's goodness is everywhere, all around about. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what you've done. It doesn't matter. You're in the presence of God because God is everywhere and all of His blessings are everywhere. But hell is the place where God is not, where goodness is not. And I cannot imagine never having anything to do with God. I cannot imagine that. I cannot imagine being in a place where there is nothing good. Because around me is lots of good. So I cannot imagine being in a place where there is no good because God is not there. I can never pray to God again. God will not hear. God is not there. I can never praise God. I can never thank God. I can never worship God because God will not receive worship. He's not there. He will not know, I suppose. Perhaps He will. What's going on? Punished. Destruction. Away from the presence of God. More than anything, I want to be in the presence of God. More than anything, I want to be in the presence of God for eternity. More than anything, as I shared with you last week, I want to see God. I want to see Jesus Christ. I want to worship them. I want to praise them. I want to tell Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. That's what I want more than anything. And I'll do anything to stay out of hell. The place where God does not, where He is not. The place where I cannot worship. The place where I cannot pray. The place where there is no good. I hope this is motivating for you today. I know it's motivating for me. As I told you as a young kid, sometimes I did things because I knew there was punishment associated with that. And as a Christian, sometimes I'll refrain from the evil and do the good because I know there is punishment associated with the evil. And I know if I do not correct my life, that punishment is forever. I hope no one here would open up their eyes in torment. I hope no one here would ever would spend eternity in hell. But I want you all to ask yourself the question this morning. When I close my eyes and open them back up in eternity, where will I be? When I stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, what will I hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. I want to spend eternity in heaven, and I hope you do too. We're going to extend the gospel invitation this morning. We're going to sing number 307. And it's a fitting song for us to sing this morning. Are you washed in the blood? As we've already talked at the beginning of this lesson, to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ is a very simple thing. As we obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we believe in Him, repent of our sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and we submit to being immersed in water. Our sins are washed away. What are they washed away in? The blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian here this morning, think back on the day you were baptized. Think about being immersed in water. Think about that washing in the blood of Jesus Christ. And think about all the blessings of heaven that you have. If you're not a Christian this morning, or if you're not faithful to the Lord, think about all the blessings you're missing out on. Think about eternity. And I pray that you'll make your life right now.